Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. New England is full of stories. Every old road, stone wall, and forgotten cellar hole has an origin tale. And with the rattling leaves and crisp black nights of fall upon us, we are on the hunt for the spookiest Halloween-y stories. The historian Eric Stanway has found plenty of them. His new book, Haunted Hillsborough County, digs beyond the official history of land where Native Americans roamed, Puritans settled, and generations of flinty New Englanders carried their legends and spirits from the old country as they eked out families, farms, and factories in the new world. We looked through the many houses and inns and barns and town halls and cemeteries in Eric's book and settled on visiting Haunted Pond in Francistown. Word of Mouth senior producer Maureen McMurray and I met Eric Stanway on the town green, just as the bells of the white clapboard community church pealed noon. We then followed him to a small beach at Haunted Pond, a lovely, shallow pond rimmed with summer cottages, birches, and pines. Really the picture of serenity, despite the number of people who met their ends there. I asked Eric where the name Haunted Pond came from.
The story goes that back in 1741, two guys came down here from Hillsborough, and they were looking to buy land down here. And apparently they came down here totally independently of each other. And they camped on the side of the pond, and they had an argument about something, and one of them ended up bashing the other one over the head with something heavy, buried him in a shallow grave. And then the story was that the other fellow was screaming and crying, walking through the woods for years and years after that. And there was a minister from Bedford who came in here in the 1750s, and he wanted to survey it. He brought in a chain gang. Well, they were obliged to spend the night here on the shore, and over the course of the night, they heard all sorts of horrible screaming and howling going on. And all of the chain men the next morning said, well, that's it, mate, you're on your own. And, and they all backed out of here.
A little clarification here. The official name of Haunted Pond is Scobie Pond, for David Scobie, an immigrant from Belfast, Ireland. He came to the region to set up a mill near the pond in 1780. While digging the foundation for the mill, workers discovered the skeleton of a young man buried in a shallow grave, further cementing the pond's deadly reputation in the minds of locals, something Scobie's rambunctious sons exploited.
His sons, who were teenagers at the time, they got really bored around here. And the idea was that the place had developed such a reputation that quote-unquote liquor-laden loafers would show up here hunting for ghosts. And the Scobie brothers decided they weren't going to disappoint them. So what they did was they took a bunch of wood from the sawmill and they nailed pieces of cloth to it. And then they would douse it with kerosene and set them off across the water out here so that these people would see these moving lights going across the pond. Just to put some icing on the cake, they decided they'd hide behind their tents and scream and howl and whip chains around and things like that. And this went on for a good long while until the cops got wind of it and they basically told them to knock it all off, to which point they went back to being really bored again.
Life is much more exciting in a small town with ghosts.
Oh, yeah. We need to do something out here.
But, Eric, that leads to something. The question of these legends get formed, they get fed and reinforced over the years, sometimes by antics like that. But how do you trace a legend? How do you know what's real?
Well, an awful lot of it you just have to take on trust. Lots of the material that I got comes from the history of Francistown, and he talks extensively about these things that happened around here. But people don't like to talk about Haunted Pond here. You know, I mean, I was in the surveyor's office and I saw it on a map and I said, Haunted Pond, what's that all about? And the secretary says, you don't want to know about that.
Should we try to find the mill?
Or yeah. Is that too ambitious of us?
No, where did he say it was?
And so we set off to find David Scobie's mill, which Eric thought he remembered being close by.
This is looking familiar to me.
We walked along a dirt road and then a path through the woods that were once the stomping grounds of Passaconaway, chief of the Penacook tribe, whose land was overtaken and were sold off to pay debts to the colonials.
Oh, we've got something here.
This is the Scobie Mill. Or what's left of it.
Though no skeletons, no evidence of lingering spirits. Unremarkable if you didn't know of the human remains left clumsily behind hundreds of years before.
I would say it was somewhere down in the middle here, because they said it was when they were digging the original parts of the foundation out. So the skeleton would have been found right around here. Creepy stuff, isn't it?
I don't know. I was thinking it looks kind of benign and sweet. But are you a person who would consider yourself a ghost hunter? Do you use machines to read heat or light or anything like that?
Oh, goodness, no. I'm a historian.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. I mean, you were a reporter for a long time. So when you're reporting on these kind of legends, which hat are you wearing? The skeptic hat or the believer hat?
I believe in it, but I don't actually go around and hunt them out. What I do is I just get the legends and I gather them together. Then I let the people sort it out themselves. They can make up their own minds about what it is.
Well, you're talking about the history, and that was one of the questions I had for you is about, I don't know, there's the thinking about the karma of a place, if I can use that word, that, you know, the sins that were committed in a place determining its outcome, which is a superstitious kind of point of view. But do you think anything happened in the formation of this land early on or the settlement that could have cast that kind of shadow?
Well, over in Wilton, there's a story of a massacre that took place in 1748, I think, when some of the local Indians from the Sauhegan and Pawtucket tribes, they were going to marry into a tribe from Canada. So they brought all of these Indians in from Canada, and they were going to have a big party, and they were all set to stay there the entire winter. And the locals brought them some gifts, like, here's some stuff, clear off. It didn't work out that way. So basically, they brought in the garrison. And the garrison murdered every man, woman, and child in the place. Ever since then, Wilton's been a hot spot for very, very nasty psychic phenomena.
But here's the rub. The source for that Indian massacre story is the spirit of a Native American warrior named Sochim, which was said to have been channeled by a local group of ghost hunters. So there are some gray areas when looking at history through a ghostly lens. But here's what we do know. History is a record of death, and death was a much more regular part of life in New Hampshire in its colonial and industrial eras. Perhaps the veil between the world of the living and the supernatural appeared thinner then, and that porous veil is what interests Eric Stanway.
I think most of my work is digging up old stories that people don't know and have forgotten about. Sometimes they have ghosts in them, sometimes they don't. But what they all have in common is they're not stories that you'll find anywhere, you know? And they're always creepy.
Eric, if we had said, well, we'd like to meet you at 11 o'clock at night rather than 11 o'clock in the morning here in Francistown, would you have come?
Sure. I'm not scared of ghosts.
Eric Stanway, a kind of local legend here in New Hampshire. He's written 16 books on New England history, as well as a number of graphic novels based on the works of Charles Dickens. He's also been a journalist and editor at newspapers in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. There's more on his book, Haunted Hillsborough County, and other books, as well as some pictures from our visit to Haunted Pond. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you like what you heard, there is plenty more at wordofmouthradio.org. And we would love to hear from you. Are there creepy spots in your town? What are the ghost stories where you live? We just visited Francistown, but surely spooky stories abound in New Hampshire. You can share them on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. We all learned as kids, didn't we, that the scariest ghost stories travel by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please join us for more Word of Mouth Sunday at noon, right here on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its Board of Trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.